So we're now going to move to Ganagarung, from a herder in the high mountains of Upper Mustang, Nepal, to a conservationist. He has dedicated more than two decades of his life to nature and to its conservation, specifically looking at improving livelihoods of local communities. He's currently the Senior Conservation Program Director at WWF Nepal, where he's responsible for developing and managing WWF's conservation programs, projects, and relationships with national and international partners. So Gana is going to be telling us a little bit of his perspective from the local and field dimension. So Gana, welcome.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, a very happy Global Snow Leopard Day. So that is the land of the glaciers and water towers, a place where I was born. What do you think about the landscape? It's pretty nice. It's a good one. This nice landscape is a pretty harsh climatic conditions that people like us who grew up as a herder had to endure lots of pain and struggle to make a mere living out of the space that you are given by birth. As a result, we do a lot of things. One of the livelihood options that we had, and still we have, is the little green patch that you can see. We can grow crops, potatoes and cereals, that doesn't last more than a few months, a year. So the option is to migrate in the winter to lowlands of Nepal, as far as India, and these days all the way to Europe and America, and still continue what survival gives you the best option that you have to has offer, and you have to move on with it. And the biggest option that we had was the livestock. We call the option as cash in the bank. That's what brings money into our lives and support our livelihoods. The place you see here, this the exact place where I was born 52 years back. And these are the same goats that my grandfather, my father, myself, and still my brother and his children continue to herd. And what happens? As a young boy, between the age of 5 to 10, this little cave, I was trained as a Buddhist practitioner, where we respect all forms of life, interdependent, interconnectedness among life forms were taught from early age. Yet, as my father was herding until the age of 80, he passed away 2 years back. No matter how much being taught philosophically, the non-killing is the way to go. It made us pretty angry. A very, very angry boy when our livestock were killed, threatened our livelihoods. And it did not kill only little goats and sheep. In dozens, tens, and eights, and twenties times, when it enters in corral, it killed even more. It did also kill a big yak, horses, and mule that cost in today's price is $1,000. In $1,000, in poor countries, in mountain communities, you can buy a lot. A loss of one animal is loss of your economy, cash in the bank. Then that's how it ends up. It's retaliatory killing. People retaliate. And recently, there's poaching on it. And this is the particular issue that is very close to my heart. As a young boy, fighting with the snow leopards for survival, getting a bit of education, learning more ecology and understanding of the environment as an umbrella species on the mountains for the ecosystem services, and finally digging the root cause, how you're going to solve that problem. It's only way of minimizing the conflict is the primary factor that will ensure the survival of the snow leopards. And that's one of the reasons I have chose to work on it to the best I could with the communities I have, with the institutional support that I have. And it's not only the conflict that is threatens the snow leopard and its habitat. It's climate change, brings extreme weathers, harsh winters. These are the nice field that I used to roam once upon a time. A much more grasses are taller, greener, and now it's so much degraded. Many households had sheep and goats. Now not more households. Majority don't have it anymore. There's one you see, the last yak herder. Many of us had yaks. Now there's only one family keeps a yak because pastures are denuded so much that you can't keep anymore. Then you have to move these goats up and down. It's not only the goat livestock that constitutes the food for snow leopard, as low as 15% to as high as 40% plus. So losing a livestock means losing snow leopard food. And also competition with the wild prey. And you look at the conditions of the blue sheep, which is primary food. It's very pathetic. It's loss of grassland is a major part. And it's not only wildlife and ecosystem that suffers. It's people suffers a lot. My own villagers have to resettle from this top, the loss of water resources, all the way to riverbeds, planting little apples as part of the adaptation measures. The apples were grown on the size of cherry 40 years back. Now you can grow pretty good sized apples, a juicy one. Anyone you can visit can have an apple. But still, when you look at that, this little settlement can be washed away at any time with one fresh flood. Will not take too much time. And the road is coming up. I will not say too much threat on it, but still, the China's one belt, one road, the major nine roads going through Nepal, and this one of the primary snow leopard habitat. It goes through. So that's going to bring more people, more pressure on resources, and its possibility of having trade, poaching, are always next to you as a threat. So ladies and gentlemen, the protecting mountain ecology is not only protecting mountains itself. As Richard has showed you, that the glacier melt, the water regulation having impact on the billions downstream. If you don't do right on the top, it's gonna be pretty miserable at the bottom. And this is just 3 months back. One day rain, intensive rain, that washed so many. And you look at the figures, over 300,000 households lost their livelihoods to a great extent. So here, this is snow leopard range where snow leopards been roaming and they still continue to roam. And these dots, you could say these are the landscapes which Gustav is going to talk about. The 12 range countries have decided to have a 13 landscapes where snow leopards can be secured for longer term. And Nepal has been one of the front-running countries, always in conservation. So out of 23, Nepal has designated 3 landscapes covering all the northern mountains of Nepal, sharing border with China and India here on 2 sides, and the central one with China. So it needs a lot of transboundary cooperation. Do any of you see where the snow leopard is? It's pretty hard to see. That's why it is hard to prepare a plan. The plan has been drafted. The first plan, the global plan, has been launched as Eastern Nepal in the Bishkek summit. So it's created a good news globally and nationally. It encouraged a lot, people like me in conservation sector. So the plan is pretty much based. It's a blueprint for the rest of the range states. And it's pretty much based on the local knowledge. People like Himali, who is a Sherpa, a local citizen scientist, trained so much with capacity building and investment that many came from the USAID funding, the AGS High Mountain. Trapping, camera trapping, as high as close to 6,000 meters high. Collecting scats for genetic analysis. Monitoring the snow leopard, helping them to radio collar, put a GPS collar so you can track them. And doing so much of that. And we have found very interesting, Only snow leopards are not going all the way to close to 6,000 meters. It is traveling a lot. And this particular patch, you see a more greenery. A 2.5 year female that travels between Nepal and China, over 2,000 kilometers. There's another one, travels through India and Nepal, back and forwards, 1,000 kilometers. So it's pretty much, unless we do a transboundary cooperation between the states, the protecting snow leopard is almost impossible. And that has been discussed and pretty much agreed in the global forum, has been referred to. Countries don't normally sit side by side to talk too much in political terms, but when talk about the snow leopard as ambassador, they're all happy to be together. So it's not all about ecology of conservation for snow leopards. It's about community. The community holds key to survival of the species. And we have invested a lot with building capacity for governance of natural resources, bring awareness. And there's a little things that can make a huge difference in the community's life. A little plastic tunnel, I call it greenhouse, where you can grow vegetables a lot for your nutritional intake, and also sell the surplus to the trackers and makes good income. Protecting watersheds for your irrigation of limited field where you can only grow potatoes, which Sherpa was growing a few potatoes, little few animals, and running a tea house. So you have the combination of all the options. You can call it adaptation, or you can call it mere survival strategies. And for us, these are the women who have been key, central to our success, working shoulder to shoulder with the man as a citizen scientist, creating, making functioning of the community-based snow leopard insurance scheme set up to compensate the losses of livestock. Educating girls for the last 15 years, these ladies have educated more than 200 girls, otherwise would have never been had access to education. And running income generation activities from finance cooperatives. And these are the really great stories that we have to tell. And finally, we do lots of good things, but we hardly document them. So this is part of the documenting the past, what has been done, what has been achieved, the present where we are, and the future where we're gonna go. In Nepal, the Prime Minister himself has committed additional resources for snow leopard conservation. So this also book has been launched in Bishkek. So I would like to end here. The basically, the snow leopard work in Nepal has been a great success in terms of bringing populations up in the places where it was doing well, because we had a support from all forms, from all walks of life, from governments like USAID. We have a global environment facilities. We have been like celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio and Megan Fox from US tweeting for the campaign. So all those are more important. And then there's more important part is local community supporting us. The local government is supporting us. And mostly the people who never see a snow leopard, but is still supporting us. And this is the man, 80-year-old man, who sends me a card saying, "I shall never see your country, let alone snow leopard, but I'm glad to be supporting the vital work that you do." And this kind of postcards makes our energy going. No matter how hard it is, it makes us to continue. And then people like us are here to track. If we don't see them, we track their pug mark. As long as we see the pug marks on the snow, we know they are there. And that is the only way we can ensure is the snow leopard is the one that's not working for. We're working for ourselves. The ecosystem that it provides us is for us. So survival of the snow leopard is more important for our own survival than species per se or for the snow leopard itself. So with this, I would like to thank you all and end here. Thank you.